My name is Nick. I am the teaching pastor here, and I'm super glad you all came. If it's your first time, I'm very glad you came to worship with us today. We're doing something very different than we normally do. These guys are up here. We're kind of having a, I guess what we're calling the State of the Church address. It's really good to stop. You know, like in a family, it's always good to have like a family meeting. You know what I mean? And you know, like, Dad is really anal when he whoops out the whiteboard. But yeah, we got the whiteboard out, and we're just going to have, like, really want to talk a lot about the church and where we're going, what we're doing, who we are, all of those really important questions that a lot of us talk about, and we just thought, man, it'd be great to get on the same page. And we're getting ready to start a whole year or more in 1 Corinthians, and so this is a great time to do this before we jump into that massive book. And so let me start out with just reading some scripture and calling us to pray. I think one of the greatest things that we want to see come out of this is just that we as a church would be humbled. Humbled by God's grace and what he's done. Humbled by the task that he's called us to and how much work we have yet to do. And just all around humbled by just the salvation that we've received. And so let's take a few minutes, and I'm going to read some scripture, and then we're going to pray. From 2 Corinthians chapter 4, just a few verses. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in sight of God. Father, we want to come knowing that the gospel is that Jesus Christ and Him crucified is the foundation of everything that we are. God, I pray that our time together would be really edifying. God, I pray that this would be really helpful, really encouraging, really challenging. God, and I pray that wouldn't be just like a silly thing that we're doing, but it would be a real benefit to the saints. We give you glory for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Normally, we spend a lot of time just unpacking a passage, and we're very excited about doing that, and we like doing that. So if you're first time and you're like, why? They don't even talk about the Bible. This church is not legit. We do love the Bible, and we talk about it a lot. But sometimes you just got to talk about life, right? I mean, those go together for sure. But we want to spend some time doing that and unpacking that. I'm going to read another verse, if I can flip to that quick enough, before we jump into this. Basically, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about three things. It'll come out as sort of a mess. It'll just be kind of like us spitting up.
Be kind of normal.
Yeah, it'll be like normal. There'll be basically three things we're going to be talking about. Sort of the vision of Veritas. That's one thing. The second thing is kind of the leadership of Veritas. And the third thing is you. That's it. So it's going to look like a mess. But you can filter and sift through that and find what you want. So I'm going to read from Philippians 1:27. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Basically, what we're doing is we're talking about that one word, striving. We're kind of spending some time unpacking what it means to strive together with one mind, one spirit. That's hard to do, isn't it? I mean, if you guys are really honest, like, you know that. Are we getting some feedback, or is it just me? All right. Yeah, I know that it's really hard to live life together, be in community together. It's like that in my family. You know, we have three little girls, and it's just like chaos fest every day. And so it can be really hard to live life together in my own little family, let alone when you put 200 people together and try to live life together. And so we're praying that that word striving side by side around the gospel would be what we're trying to really rally behind today. So I want to talk about really quick who we are. These guys are going to jump in and talk a lot. Oh, yeah. Tell everybody who you are in case people don't know.
I'm Brad Snyder, also one of the pastors here. I typically head up a lot of the community groups, community life ministry here. And
I'm Joe Weiler. I'm also one of the pastors here. I head up kind of the music stuff and a lot of the executive stuff. So,
yeah, we are the three elders, pastors right now, and we'll talk more about us in a little while, too. But yeah, so this is going to be awkward a little bit, you know, because we're not used to this. I'm like, I need to have an outline and a Bible just open all the time. So it can be really awkward for me, but who are we? Who are we as a church? We started October of 2008, a little over a year ago. And we started basically with my wife and me and Brad and his wife in a room, or actually in a restaurant, just talking about things, how we'd want to see things, where theology was and those kinds of things. Then, you know, eventually people started joining the team, like Joe and Renee and Matt and Ashley and a few other leaders, and Jill, who was doing our reading, she was there in the very beginning. And so we kind of all came together, and the question of who are we was like, always there. Who are we as a church? I mean, every church has their mission statement. Every church has the thing they're all about, you know? We're all about, like, the cool kids ministry. We're going to have the slide, put the kids down the slide. It's going to be awesome. The kids are just going to walk out loving Jesus every day, that kind of thing. But we started combing through the scriptures and just saying, you know, we know we're probably not going to be equipped enough or cool enough to do any really cool ministry. And we started seeing in the scriptures this identity of us being in Christ and Jesus being it. That's why we say almost every week our verse, the Veritas verse, is 1 Corinthians 2:2 or 2 Corinthians 2:2. For we resolved to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's kind of our flag that we wave. That's the kind of thing that we have. That's our identity. That's really what we're all about as a church. And I know that as a church, that's kind of where we are in our foundation. And I know there's been tons of you that aren't there. You're all like, okay, that's the church's big call or whatever. I'm not there. I'm exploring. I'm thinking through this. We've had people come from Buddhist backgrounds, from Islam, from fundamentalist Christianity, from very liberal Christianity. I mean, all these different backgrounds have come to Veritas and heard that this is what we are about, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And so how do we get there as a church? And that's exactly what we're trying to do. That's what we want to see. We want to see us all get there. That's it. I mean, that's who we are. That's our identity, Jesus Christ. So when people come to this church and you're new and you're coming to check things out, we don't want people just to say, well, yeah, they have great music. I mean, we do have great music or great preaching. Most of you won't say that, but or whatever. But we want you to leave here and be like, man, they really are about Jesus. You know, we're not afraid to sing songs about, like, the devil being a weak and helpless worm. I mean, who sings? What kind of church sings about that? We do. And so we want to make that our identity. But we want to encourage people that are on that journey, trying to understand that and trying to figure that out. Does that make sense? Like, we're really trying to have courage to say, this is where we stand. This is where we put our flag in. But we know that a lot of you aren't there yet. And we want to encourage, help. We want to be a part of that journey. We want to help wrestle with a lot of that stuff because, the reason we've wrestled with that stuff, it's not like we just woke up and believed it. We wrestle with the gospel all the time, trying to understand it. What does it mean? But we see over and over again that the scriptures call us to make that our foundation. The second thing is kind of how do we live? How do we as a church live? Our identity is in the gospel. How do we live that out? How do we live that out? Four things. Who can say the four things that we live out, the rhythms?
You get a cookie.
All right. Well, we haven't talked about them in a while, so I guess we could, I'll just throw them out there. Somebody say it. Community, learning, service, missions. Four things.
Good job.
All right. Community, service, learning, and missions. Community, that's just like family. We always say community means family. It's the same, like, same dynamics. I mean, you think about family, the mess, people fighting, upset, but you got each other's back. You're like blood, you know? Thick, tight.
maybe interject real quick, back this up. What Nick was saying about the gospel identity, that bleeds through in who we believe we are. That, I mean, the word identity meaning this is what never changes about us as a church. And then these four rhythms that rhythms, values, you can use different words for that. That is really what we believe is what it means to live out of that identity. Mm-hmm. So as you get into community, yeah. You're talking about something about blood or something.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Just trying to live out that community. The second thing, service. We want to serve Columbus. We want to serve the city. That looks different in a lot of different ways, whether that means just being at the rec center and painting some walls, whether that means getting involved with some of the businesses and serving them, whether that means serving at a soup kitchen. It means so many different things, but we are called to serve as a church, no matter what it is. Jesus was the greatest servant, came to serve and not to be served, and so we believe that too. And the third thing, learning. We know that Jesus left us and said that we are called to go and make disciples of all nations. That means that we need to be in a process of always learning, being humbled, getting books, getting together with one another, having accountability, having discipleship. All of those things unpacked come under learning. We want to be a church that values learning. We want to value, we really want to value depth of our minds. We want to be smart people. We want to know Christianity really well. We want to know our theology really well. We want to study hard, and we want to strive for that. The fourth thing is missions. We believe that we are all called to be missionaries. What and where is something we want to foster, and we want to encourage, and we want to help, but we all are called to be missionaries in some way, whether it's as a teacher in a school, whether it's as a barista at Starbucks, or whether it's overseas in the Ukraine, wherever it is, we're all called to be missionaries, and we want to encourage all of those things for everybody. So, do you guys have anything you want to add to that before I go into my drawing?
To the missions is we really value, like you've heard Nick talk about a lot, that we don't want to just have a little mission wall with half a dozen pictures of people, and then a big map that shows where each of those people go. We love overseas missions. We're passionate about the unreached peoples of the world. Obviously, we're a new church. We're going to get into that a lot more in a little bit about where we see ourselves going towards that. But we want to be a church that has an attitude of something called 100% sinned, where we believe that 100% of the people in this church calling Veritas home are sent out as missionaries. Where, like Nick was saying, sent out to their workplace, to their neighborhoods, to their families, to their school, specifically as a missionary of the gospel. And it's something where we don't have this varsity JV attitude of, oh, the people who are going to this one place are the varsity Christians and everybody else is JV. Not that at all. But we want to celebrate where each person is because we believe that you're uniquely called by God to be a missionary to that place.
Yeah, I think kind of one of the greatest falls of the church, too, is the fact that we have treated missions like something you, like a sort of a program, I guess, where, the American church has just died away because we have lost the vision of missions where we are. Like, I want to be the best CEO of such and such business because I know that my ministry opportunities, my mission opportunities in that would be huge. Seeing things like that rather than going overseas. All right, so I want to give you an illustration. Now, we've been racking our brains for weeks trying to figure out, like, how to best communicate where we are as a church and where we're going, and that kind of thing. And so this analogy is not perfect. So some of you nerds who are like, I'm going to take this to the nth degree and go crazy, like, don't do that. You know, just relax. All right. So we see our foundation. Can you all see that? We see our foundation throughout the scripture, and like I said, our foundation is the gospel. And please don't make fun of my handwriting or my spelling. You're like,
I got gospel right.
Gospel and Jesus, you know, the same thing. That's our foundation. This is not going to change at Veritas. That's not going to change at Veritas. I know we've had people, and maybe some of you here that have, that's been very frustrating because you want us to change on that. You want us to be more open-minded or more open in that area, but we really have seen it. This is something that we're not going to change on. Now, what that means is that we're not, you know, beating people down and saying you have to believe this or get out. We want people to come, journey, think through things. We want people to wrestle with stuff. So that's not going to change.
Can I interrupt just a second? Yeah. We live in the city. We're a church in the city. If you have a dark gray Cobalt, Chevy Cobalt, you may be about to get towed. So we just thought we might. Yeah, there we go. Sorry to point you out, but we didn't want you getting towed.
This is community.
Exactly.
Just saved him $100.
That's right.
Awesome.
Sorry, go ahead.
This is going to be a fun night. So we got our foundation here. And so this is what we see scripturally. Now, we're not going to just stay there. We know that is active. The gospel is very active in our lives. That means something. And so in the very beginning of our church, we read through Acts and like the New Testament. We read it through the scriptures so many times trying to say, okay, what are some things that all Christians are called to do? We saw four things. We see community. Yeah, we talked about that. Service. Learning. My handwriting or drawings are really bad. And then missions. Those are the four things that we are all called to, like I said and explained. We are all called to do that, do those things. So at Veritas, these are the four things that we aren't going to change on for calling Christians to be involved with. So these things are not going to be changed at Veritas. However, they look very differently. So what I want to show you here is that we hope that you'll see these four things as bricks. Community, service, learning, and missions. They're bricks. We want to give you bricks, and we want to call and say, you have to have all of these bricks in your building, or it will collapse. But some of your buildings are going to have a lot of missions. Some of your buildings are going to have a lot of learning, where discipleship happens, and you're going to have more things in those. And then we are saying, the three of us, the eldership, the leadership, whoever, we're not building the church for you. We are building the church with you. And so what we are calling to you all to know and to understand is that we aren't going to put together this giant church with an umbrella that says, we got the women's ministry, the men's ministry, the missions program, this program, that program, this program, that, just tons of programs. Find one to get plugged into and everything will be great. We don't want to do that because we've seen that. It's not bad, but it just doesn't feel like who we are, and it doesn't feel very helpful. And so what we're saying is let's come together and build the church and build who we are, our identity. So you build a building in the city. Okay, don't make fun, you know, or rocket ship or whatever. You know, we got all these buildings, but in them are bricks. Community, of service, you know, of missions, of different things. And we need you all to come and build this. We need everybody to come together and build this together. So instead of us coming and saying, okay, we got the structure, we got the building, now you guys come and find your place in it. We feel like that really limits people's giftedness. It really limits people's responsibility. We're saying, if you're not going to come and build the buildings, if you're not going to get your hands dirty and grab some bricks and start working, then are you part of the church? Then are you really a part of the church? Are you just a consumer of the church? And so that's what we're trying to call people to, is to see, grab some bricks, all of these. And every Christian needs to have all of these. Every Christian needs to be in community. Every Christian needs to be serving. Every Christian needs to be a learner. And every Christian needs to be in missions. It just looks different for some people. It looks very different for some people. Some people, service is their flag. It's the big flag they wave, saying, you know, I'm all about service. I want to get in the community. I want to get involved with the homeless. I want to get involved with the down and out in our community. I want to serve them. I want to serve the businesses in our community. I really want to be there to serve them and be involved with ComFest or Highball or whatever event to help serve in those ways. That can look all like very different, and that's their big flag. Some people, it's missions. They're all about missions. Everybody should be all about missions. Everyone. But for some people, maybe they're like, overseas missions is where we need to be thinking. It's where we need to be going. And that's so true. But for some people, they aren't that's not going to be their strength. Does that make sense? Is this making sense to y'all? Thinking through, like, we are not building an organization for you to plug into, but you guys are building this church. You have to grab some bricks.
Something about that is, you'll see the natural tendency where us as Christians, we have this this idea that everybody should be about what our thing is, what our deal is. And what Nick said is so true, that we have to be building with all of these. All these pieces have to be in place, and we all have to be using them. And so often, we as Christians just want to take the role of superintendent and step back and judge the people who aren't building with the materials that we think are of preeminence importance, rather than actually celebrating the fact that we're all different, gifted differently, and then helping to grow together one to another, so that we're actually each using all of these bricks, each of these values that we want to be about.
Yeah. And so, all right, let's move on. And, you know, as a church as a whole, there are some things that we're going to be involved with, some things that we're going to be doing as a church as a whole that will show that. So, for instance, missions. We give financially as a church to the International Mission Board. This is one of the largest mission sending agencies in the United States. We give financially to church planting all over the United States. We're heavily funding a church plant in Dayton, Ohio, and we're always helping church plants all around Ohio. One in Cincinnati, we've been doing some help with. There is one another one in Cincinnati, two in Cincinnati that we've been kind of working with to help in that way, in missions. And then, you know, service. We work with the Stowe Center down on Parsons Avenue. They have a free dental clinic. They have a free eye clinic. They have a food pantry. They have a soup kitchen. All of those things, we've been helping with them, like from things like just like Joe's helping build a website for them to going and helping cleaning their food pantry, which is something our community group has done and I've done. All of those things are things we do together. So the church is involved with those different things. And as far as like exploring more missions opportunities, you know, as a church, like I'm traveling over to Western Europe in a few months with Dr. Ed Stetzer and a few other people to explore what it looks like to do missions in Western Europe. How does our church fit into that? How can we as a church rally and put our money together and start helping funding a church plant in there? And so we want to do little things like that. As well as here in Columbus, what does planting look like for us here in Columbus? To the big question we're asking, like, how can we plant churches around Columbus and be effective in other communities outside the short north? And so a lot of folks might ask, well, what is our strategy for missions? And my prayer and my hope is that we wouldn't just send a few people out to do missions, but that all of us would go and do missions and find our role and find something that we are being called to do in that. Does that make sense? So all of y'all have to like come behind and say, you know, what mission field am I being called to? Am I called to Starbucks? Am I called to Nationwide? Am I called to Ohio State's campus? What mission field are you in? So, that's kind of missions. I don't know if you guys have anything to add on that section.
Just one other thing that might be helpful in thinking about this is how does this apply individually? And then we look at it like in your community groups. What are you as a smaller community rallying around in these four areas? How are you serving, serving together? How are you learning together? And then as a corporate church, what Nick was talking, kind of the bigger things that we're rallying all together, we're helping to fund church plans mm-hmm. or things like that. So it kind of has, individual, then a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that goes like as a reminder, like our job as pastors isn't to create a missions program for you to plug into, but to help you find out what missions you should be involved with. And that might mean like, oh, you got to really team up with, the Penleys who are doing work among Somalians. You can team up with them and really help them, encourage them. And we want to help you figure that out and find that out rather than saying, you can't do missions unless you do our program.
That's something that knowing full heart, like in the Christian community, we can come to a church, be there for a couple months, look around and be like, all these people just don't care about this, or they're not doing anything about that. And we want to be a church that calls you to, well, we do care about that because we care about the gospel and because you're here, and we praise God that he has sent you here to be among us, to be passionate about that, to lead us in that direction. And so we're going to get into a lot more when we get into the you part of this, as far as where the bounds are, which there really aren't any, but how we can equip you, send you, and help you to bring us along with you into whatever ministry that God's laying on your heart. So if you're here and you're feeling that rub and that tension of, I feel like I'm the only one that cares about this, I feel like I'm screaming out loud in the wilderness, we praise God you're here, and we really want to encourage you to, pursue us, but more importantly, pursue the rest of this community, and not at all to think that that because we don't have an official program or structure that's not our passion. In fact, I would argue that we're more passionate about that because we're not trying to confine it into this limited structure as far as what the three of us can handle doing. So.
Let's focus on leadership. We are a top-down organization, and that basically means Jesus is the top and we are down, all of us. We definitely believe that in wanting to raise up qualified elders, pastors for our community, we want to be very passionate and strong about that. But we still believe that that the pastors, the deacons, the leaders in the church are not above everybody else. I know it's easy to say, but that doesn't, you have to walk the fine line of like making sure that people know that you aren't above reproach. Like, we aren't above being, pulled aside and be like, dude, you said something really messed up, which some of you feel very much liberty to do such a thing. We also value being just a community that really respects leadership, knowing that it is very tough to do and it's a hard workload, especially in a church plant. Us being brand new church, a new church start, it's very, very hard because we're pioneering so many things. Everything is new. You can go up to my office. I've read so many books. I've read so much that's out there. I've talked with so many pastors. We're connected with some of the best church planting networks. We are connected with some of the top church planters, the most successful church planters out there. But everything is still so new. It's very hard because we're pioneering so many things. It's very tricky.
I almost want to add to that. Like we didn't plant this because we sat around one day and said, you know what would be fun? Or we just have way too much time on our hands. You know, so this is something that definitely we were burdened by and called to. And prayerfully, though, that doesn't stop with us. But that all you guys realize that in helping at a church this stage, you're church planters. You're pioneering with us, and hopefully that encouraged you to have all the more of a care for the leadership, and a desire to encourage, and also a desire to keep us accountable to where we're leading and where we're heading.
Yeah, and just on a practical note, you know, the three of us are elders. We have a bunch of ministry leaders that do a lot of work that you might not see, finances and connect and all those things. And we're hoping to raise up a lot of them as deacons, as it's a scriptural title. You know, we're not a title-seeking church at all. We don't believe that a title gives you respect, but, you know, serving and working hard and being in community and loving the church a lot is what really brings the respect, and so we want to give a biblical title to that, and so we want to raise up deacons hopefully by the end of the year, and we want to have, you know, we want to have a lot more community group leaders. All of our community groups are full, so we need more community group leaders to come up and really pitch in and help. Right now we have around 50 members, people that have covenanted with the church and said, you know, I'm with you. A lot of people say that, but a lot of people are very scared to sign the line, you know? You know what I mean? And we kind of literally ask you to do that. Not because it's like a law thing or legal or whatever, but we call you all to be members and sign that dotted line because we really genuinely want to know who's on our team. So a lot of times we have people that will give their advice. I'll put that nicely. Give their advice. Who aren't really members or even really part of the church, and it's really hard to take a lot of that a lot of times when I know you're not working with us, when you're not covenanting with us and laboring in the Lord with us. And so that's why we strive to make membership an important thing at Veritas, where we're calling you, become a member. Let us know, please, that you're willing to fight with us, and you can say all the things you want to us with a biblical standard. And we'll listen, we want to labor in that and figure things out, but a lot of it is just really knowing that you're on our team. Does that make sense to y'all?
We get no shortage of feedback, and so to know who's giving a feedback because they deeply love Veritas and want to see it grow and they're going to be here through the process versus those who are just trying to manipulate the church and say, if you do these things, then I'll commit, versus I'm with you guys, and I want to see Veritas become the most, to bear God's image, the greatest as possible in this city. And so that helps out immensely, and it also lets us know who we're accountable to God for. We have, I don't even know how many people we've had come through our doors, and obviously so many people that we can't chase down, but those that say, they're literally coming saying, I want my soul to be cared for. I want to know that there are people praying for me that know that I'm committing to them and that they're committing to shepherd me. And that's a thing that we want to honor here. And honestly, we want to do a lot better job cultivating and shepherding that. It's something that we're still growing towards. Like Nick said several times, we're new. But that's definitely something we're wanting to grow more in.
Yeah, I think one of the things Brad said earlier today is we were kind of just wrestling through some stuff is we want to communicate to you guys that we aren't Jesus. We just point you to Jesus. And so all of you are like, yeah, we know that. But some people like treat us sometimes like we should meet every need. We should do everything. We should take every phone call or don't hear this as complaining at all. But we just need people to be more understanding and compassionate to one another, to remember that this is a new church and the leadership is really striving very hard. We spend hours in prayer weekly for you, naming you by name. We're trying to understand our role better. We're trying to understand the church better and all those things. And so know that when you're going in to just yell at us or just be real hard or whatever, and know those things. And you know, as a joyful thing, you know, it's been awesome to have us grow so quickly. But in just in the last 5 or 6 months, we've doubled in size. We at one point we counted the Connect cards that have come through, and we've had like 600 people come through our doors. It's pretty incredible, and very, very hard to keep up with all of that. And that's why we say community group. Be in community group, you know, get in those and let your community group leader help shepherd you and take care of you. And your people in your community group really love on you and bring you meals when you have a baby or when you're sick. Let them love on you. As jacked up as those groups can be sometimes, you just got to stick it out and be a part of it and just say, you know, we're going to fight through this.
And the tough thing, too, is we all want to benefit from a gospel community, but not many of us really want to cultivate a gospel community. Because cultivating takes a lot of work. You got to till some messed up, broken hearts that are barred and walled in tough soil. You've got to pursue that and to get deep and to chase somebody down when they're running from you and to care enough to say the thing to somebody that might actually make them really mad at you. And so those are the things that involve cultivating a gospel community. And we all say we want that, but what I want to challenge to y'all is how many of you are ready to actually cultivate that? And it should be all of us, because we need that. Because you can't expect the fruit without doing the work.
Yeah, well said. That's worth meditating on, thinking about. And so just to end, like, just the leadership part, we just want to call people to really pray for the leaders. And I'm not saying that, like, pray for, you know, just pray for me, like, feel bad for us. Things are so hard. It's not like that. We absolutely love what we're doing. We just can't believe that God is doing what he's doing here. And it's, so many times we're caught in between, like, this is so awesome, I'm going to jump off a cliff. You know, it's like you just go through those up and downs. And so we need like just a ton of prayer. And even before you feel frustration about what's going on at the church, remember that you are part of the church, or you should be part of the church, and you can be a part of changing that or a part of growing that or fostering that. So please pray for grace and patience, and for the leadership to make wise decisions. We've noticed that, you know, a lot of stuff has emerged, you know, in the last, I don't know, several months in a cool way, because, you know, they say the church planting books, and this is the nerd side of me coming out, they say in about 18 months after you start, which is about 18 months, that people really start feeling restless. You know, you come together, a new church, and you're all fired up. Everybody's fired up. They're inviting their friends. It's really good. It's growing. And then you start really cultivating that depth, and people are done. They don't want to go any further. They don't want to, like Brad said, cultivate anymore because they're tired. You've already feel like you've done tons of work, and so you're tired to really go there.
I think also part of that is you start feeling like a real church. And so the people that, you know, early on, we didn't feel much like a real church. It felt like a glorified Bible study. But as you grow and start to kind of have some of your norms, some of the way things are done, then when new people are coming in the door, especially when you're coming in the door with the consumer mindset that we as an American church have fed for so long, you expect to have all your needs met like you would at a church that's maybe been around 20, 30, 40 years. And so there's that tension and that rub once again where there's just this, the mission aspect that started so early on is kind of lost.
Yeah. I mean, when you start to see that church isn't about a building, it's not about a program, it's not about, it's just not about like maybe the elders, the top dogs or whatever in the church. It's not about that, but it's really a movement. It's about, It's just really about a movement of God. It's about seeking his kingdom first. When we start seeing that, then we're going to start giving more financially. We're going to start serving more. We're going to start inviting more friends and neighbors. We're going to start praying more as a community. All those things are going to start coming together a lot more. And so we hope that you'll kind of get out of the mindset that this is, I don't know, maybe this is the church you grew up with for some of y'all. Maybe it's just your, I don't know, your Mason or Kiwanis Club or whatever. That I don't think any of you are in that, but, you know, those kinds of things. You just kind of got to get out of that.
I think the majority of people that are making up Veritas are coming out of a really structured environment of parachurches or of this church you grew up in, like you were saying. And that isn't wrong at all. We're not acting like we're above that at all. But as we seek out our identity as a church, it's a really tough thing for us to figure out, okay, there's good structures that we're wanting to put in place to foster growth, to send things. I mean, like our gatherings, well, they happen on the same week or same day of the week at the same time. That's kind of a structure, which some of you guys probably, that maybe even rubs you. You kind of wish you, I don't know. And we have community groups. We have other things that are put in place to foster that community. And then other end of the spectrum, some of you guys are coming in and that just drives you insane that there's not more, that there's not more clear, like, rail lines that you just get inserted into and carried along in your role to becoming like Jesus. And so for some people, you know, they have this big rub as far as there's not enough direction, there's not enough structure, and that's kind of difficult. And others are complaining and having the issue where there's too much. And so figuring out that, like, that's the church, you know, as we get into 1 Corinthians here in next week, we're going to see that that's just the rub of community and what gospel is among us. So,
yeah, I think what's something that's worth thinking about is that we have, from the very beginning, we've always seen ourselves as a church of inventors. When you invent, you know, like churches are typically consumers. This is how most of the pastors I know of, or most church leaders I know of, they look out in the church world and say, who's doing the best job, and we'll copy them. You know, 40 Days of Purpose, Rick Warren, we'll do that. That's working really good. Or the, I don't know, Neil Cole, like missional community, or house churches or whatever, we'll do that. So people kind of go out and grab whatever's working the best or whatever's the best thing. And we want to be a church that is inventors, where we will fail a lot, but when we hit that right spot, when we find that right thing, it'll be perfect for us. Does that make sense? So we're going to fail a lot. I mean, I say this so honestly that I've failed my leadership team so many times. I've had to repent so many times because of the way I have failed to communicate or just be a godly man. These guys have failed. So many of you all failed, but that's all right. We're figuring our way through this. And in a lot of ways, I feel like we've lost our way so much as a church that we're really trying to find our way back. And that's what it means to really kind of find that way back. And so a thing Tim Chester said, he wrote Total Church along with Steve Timmis. He said, church is not an event. It's a community. Mission is not an event. It's a lifestyle. We are called to live ordinary life with gospel intentionality. We are a community. We are family. That means everybody's got to pull their weight. And I'm not saying that as a guilt trip, like you guys aren't doing good enough, because some of y'all are just rocking. You know, everybody's doing well, and everybody's processing things. People are giving more financially. People are praying more, and we're really growing in those things. And so I praise God that those things are happening. But as a family and as a community, we need to come together. And so a lot of people are just being like, what's my role here? Like, what is my role? What am I doing here? Like, what are my bounds? You say we need to build our own buildings and those kinds of things. Well, like, what are my boundaries? And that's why we said, and that's why we say, this is our foundation and these are who we are. That's That's it. That's like our bounds. We see in the scriptures. We see just an extreme amount of freedom, people using their gifts, and that's why we're going to go through 1 Corinthians all this year. We're seeing people using their gifts in many different ways, in teaching, in prayer, in all kinds of different ways. And we just say, this is our bounds. Well, we want to be about that. If somebody's about missions, we're about missions. If somebody's about women's ministry, we're about women's ministry. We're just not going to create a program for those things. We're just going to encourage you, do them. Get some people behind you. Rally people behind you and really connect. Discipleship. We are all about discipleship. We've got tons of people being discipled, discipling, meeting together one-on-one, meeting together in just small group, really small groups. You know, that a lot of that happens in community group. Pretty much everything happens in community group.
Something with that, like I know that can be kind of a tough hurdle where it's like, okay, we'll do it. What do we do? And we had a great example of this. Megan and Melissa actually had it on their heart a lot to figure out how do we gather more women to be ministered to? How do we develop a culture at Veritas where women are being equipped, where they're growing in God? And it was great. They came to us kind of sharing what they hope to see happen. And really that was it. It was just, now what can we do? How can we be equipped? And it was just a beautiful expression of the church being the church, because it wasn't what things do we need to set up another structure? It was, how can we use the structures we have in place, namely the gathering, the relationships in the natural Veritas community and then in community groups, to bring about this thing that we see as such a value and such a need in the community? And so we also are all about equipping you guys, giving you resources, and helping you to get the ball rolling. And then at the same time, making sure that we're all connecting as a community to be growing in that avenue, in that area.
Yeah, that's good, because I think the core of it is relationship-driven, where it's not about how can we gather a program to do this, but we're a community. It's relationship-driven. So we see the gospel taking root in our lives, and it's transforming us. And then we're naturally sharing that with the people we're around. And I like that the end of that quote Chester's quote where it says, living intentional, or living ordinary life with gospel intentionality. And so as you're in community here, as you're in community elsewhere, what has God laid on your heart? And then how can you gather people around you who have the same passion, who have the same desires to see the gospel go forth at Starbucks or with women, with men, and you do it.
Yeah, and bounds would be if you're a guy and you're like, I really want to start a women's ministry, we're going to be like, no, not a good idea.
Get married and that'll be your women's ministry.
Yeah, no women's ministry for dudes. Boundaries like that are, we don't need to have anything there. But one of the things I was going to say, too, is people are just so different. If it was up to me, up to only me, to run the church, it would be very much an organization with a CEO mentality, because I am very, very anal about everything. I said that word a couple times. I'm sorry. It's very inappropriate. I know. It's really dirty. I am dirty.
Take them off the internet.
But I'm very intense with details and that kind of thing. And so my natural tendency is just to bark orders at people and just use people and those kinds of things. And I am growing in that because I know that that's not right. I need community around me to remind me hey man, you probably need some friends, boss man or whatever, So that's why we need community, and that's why we have to constantly, and I'm constantly reeling myself back and reminding myself, come on, we're not starting another program here. Because that's what I want to do. That's my tendency. And so you'll always see this tension, because Joe is probably the opposite. You're probably in the middle, maybe.
Probably the perfect balance.
Yeah, Brad is the perfect balance.
I'm way on the other side.
that's why we set up the way we are. And something with that, I don't ever want it to seem, or we don't want it to seem like, as much as we don't want to be ruling the programs, we're not against programs in nature. Like, we love the fact that at the grassroots level of Veritas, somebody would set up and say, you know what, I am passionate about serving in this place or going on campus to share my faith on this day and gathering people to do something that's a program.
Kind of like our art.
Exactly.
I mean, we had several artists come together to want to produce art, not just for their own sake, but to bless the church community. And so it was kind of like a program or a structure was birthed out of what God was calling people to do. And so we want to celebrate that, but we recognize that there's a lot of damage that could be done if we just came together and it was only us deciding everything Veritas was going to do and saying, okay, now fit in, fall in, or fall out. And we don't want to go there. We're wanting to hopefully save you guys from a lot of destruction and pain, and also just we want to be blessed by you because although we're leaders of this community, we're members of this community. And we desperately need you guys to take the lead in appropriate ways at appropriate times. And, yeah.
Yeah, just as far as, like, you know, you're sitting there and you're saying, what do I do? One word came to my mind, it's consistency. We just need people that are consistent, which is, like, completely... It's like the thing that our generation is completely known for not being. We are the most inconsistent people. Yeah, man, I'll be there. I'll see you. And just not show up, you know? That's how we are as a people generally. So when it comes to community life, you come to community group or whatever once every few months, of course you're not going to have deep community. I mean, you're never there. You're never around people. I mean, that makes sense, right? You're upset that we're not doing this. Well, you're not around enough. Like, come around and see that we are. You know, get to know some people more. Get to talk to some people, and you're like, oh, well, we are doing a lot of that stuff, you know? Because, I mean, it surprises people so many times when they come and they're upset, or you might be upset about, why aren't we doing this? Or, you know, well, we've got 10 people that are. It's, you know, you just got to get to know people and be consistent and be around. And that takes time. I'm not, like, yelling or anything. But sometimes, kind of am. Am I? but it takes time. Some of y'all, like, you know, just checking things out. You're not really sure about this weird place. They sit on stools and talk. Weird church.
And I think what you said earlier in regards to our gospel identity, it's a journey. And we realize that, I mean, in a lot of ways, we're finding our way through this as we lead. And you guys are too. I mean, most of you aren't used to this. We're not even in some ways. And so we're learning what does it mean to live in community. How do we serve together? How do we love each other and get into each other's lives? And so consistency, just being a part of it, saying, yeah, let's journey together. Let's figure this thing out. Let's focus on Jesus and love our neighbors and see what happens.
A couple things that came to mind when you were... Come on, Joe.
Who's calling me?
A couple of things that came to mind when you were sharing that. The first being that we've failed a lot as far as communicating with you guys, typically because we talk so much and think about things constantly throughout the day, and so we can be kind of overthinking and then in that process forget to kind of bring you guys along and communicating. But on the flip side of that, because we're a decentralized church, oftentimes we aren't communicating everything that's going on because we don't even know everything that's going on. You know, I find out every week about a ministry that people are doing or things that are happening, and I'm just like, praise the Lord for that. That's wonderful. So realizing that oftentimes we don't know everything to even begin to communicate everything. And then I think I forgot the other thing I was going to say. It's probably really, really important.
I was going to add to that. I know, like, some people have talked about being... just kind of curious or wondering, you know, we're a young church. Most of you are in your 20s or 30s. We want to grow in the next few years. Like, we're praying for older folks to come along. We're praying that we will look a little less pale. We're praying that that we'll have diversity. We have a great amount of diversity just among ourselves, but we do really want to grow more. In being able to look different. We want to look like what the kingdom will look like, where there's black and Latino and old and young together. And so we're praying that will happen more and more as we're all going to grow old. So eventually we'll get there.
That will happen.
And the other thing I also wanted to speak to is that we realize that there's also, as we've grown among a lot of hurt, struggling, disenfranchised people. And so when we call out, like, get involved, you know, and a lot of what we're saying has been more to those of you who've been around for a long time. But then to say something to those that are kind of coming and are struggling, that that we want to be a church where it's okay to be struggling, it's okay to be hurting, but it's not okay to always be hurting and struggling. And so that's a call to all of us together to kind of come around to be pursuing those people who are those ones that are struggling with inconsistency, to not just pass it off saying, oh, I guess they're mad or not coming back, but to have, you know, the crazy idea to actually not only text somebody, but to stop by their house, to call them, to pursue them, to get in their lives, because there's a lot of people struggling here. It's a hurting community. There's sin struggles. There's wounds. There's people that have been hurt deeply. And so as much as we want to call you to be consistent, come, also let people in your life and let people love you.
And with that is people who are questioning things too. And I think it's great. Like, we don't discourage that. We want people to question what's truth. How do we live this out? And then in community, let's seek that together. Let's look at the Bible. What does it say?
I think in that's why we'll wrap up here in a minute. That's why we value humility so much, is because we can't be just an arrogant church that says, we have the truth, you're either in or you're out. You know, start kicking people around, but we want to come humbly and say, this is what's true. But, you know, the journey for people is so different, and sometimes it's hard, and sometimes it's really easy. They get it really quick. Some of y'all come from those fundamentalist background church, you know, where you've gotten jacked around by the pastor because he's a complete moron, or just an overbearing, you know, heavy-fisted guy. And, you know, some of y'all just need to detox from that and step back and realize that, you know, we're not your pastor, your dad, or we're not your old pastor or your dad or anything like that, but we are who we are, and we're working through this, and we want to carry both that strong leadership, because all these guys are really strong leaders. At the same time, we want to remember and always remind you that we are not it. We're not it. I know a lot of you are like, yeah, we know that. Stop explaining. But, you know, other people are here to connect, and other people are here to get involved and get into your life and can make huge differences. Before we go, one of the ways that we've tried to really centralize us is through an online thing called The City. A lot of y'all, we have like 100 of y'all on there, but if you're not on The City, that is the best place sort of centrally to know what's going on. We're not going to announce everything. If we announced everything that you guys all wanted us to announce, we'd spend 20 minutes to an hour announcing like all the things that you guys are doing, because people are doing so much in The City and that kind of thing. You go on The City, log on, you can see all kinds of events that people are doing, hosting, parties, needs. Somebody needs something, you can go on there and say, I need a mechanic, and somebody hopefully can help out, or I need help moving. Somebody can help out. You know, that's a great place to get on and really communicate with one another. And so the website's on your bulletin. Just go on there, sign up, and really get connected and kind of play around in there, because it's not really that confusing. But I know some of y'all like hate technology, and this, yeah, technology's it can be a bad thing, but this is hopefully designed in a way that it can really help foster community rather than like you have online virtual community. So, all right, well, let's pray. I'm sorry we went so long, guys. I hope this was helpful. Really helpful to you, and I'm going to pray, and then the band's going to come up, and we're going to keep going.